Good morning.
Good morning.
Open your Bibles today to the book of Isaiah, please. Good to see so many folks today.
Amen.
I hope you've gotten over the depressing news of the loss of your favorite basketball team. If you weren't here last night because of the game, that's what you get. I wasn't very smart. Skip church for a game and then your team loses. That's what you get. Oh well. Maybe they'll win on the next game. And maybe they won't. But either way, big deal.
Right.
I mean, really, what does it matter? It doesn't really matter. Like somebody said, the main thing is keep the main thing the main thing. Right?
Right.
Should I repeat that for you slow people? The main thing is keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is not sports or money or pleasure. The main thing is what God told us to do. And that's what this whole week has been all about. There hasn't been a lot of programs going on, a lot of things going on to entertain people. This whole week was set aside to remind us of what we're supposed to be doing. I want to thank all you people who had a part. Thank you for your hospitality, keeping us in your homes, taking care of us, feeding us, praying for us, coming to the services. I hope you came every time you had a chance to. And if you didn't, well, it's always next year. Plan to come again next year to every meeting. If you have a morning off, come to the morning meeting. You'll be blessed too, I think. Well, you know, I'm thankful to God for this church and for what it stands for, the testimony of this church. Sometimes that the way we preach and the way we come down on some issues, we make it sound like we're not aware of what goes on. But that's not really the point. The point is we are men of like passions with you. And we know full well how easy it is to slip into complacency coldness and apathy and lose sight of what's important. So when we preach these things, it's not because we're not aware of anything that goes on. We are quite aware of the sacrifices that many make to get the gospel out here and abroad. But it's the time to remind ourselves and remind you all of what God wants us to do. John, you and I have several things in common. Wherever you are, John, there you are. We're both one by the same man. I'm thankful to God for a father that was a godly man and a fine example. You know, he didn't have a lot of things this world thinks are worth having. He didn't have a real great education. He tells a story about going to get a job one time, and they asked him, they said, what kind of education do you have? He said, well, I have a BA degree. And they said, well, sir, you know what that means? Of course, you hate those questions, right? So as always you say, well, no, I guess I don't. I thought I did, but I guess I don't. Well, no, why does it mean? It means you've mastered the first two letters of the alphabet. That's what they told him. They didn't tell him that he mastered them backwards. But, you know, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter to him. He wasn't trying to impress anybody with his education. He wasn't Dr. Dale. He was just Dale. And I'm thankful for his example. Isaiah chapter 6. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up,
Amen.
And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings, with 20 covered his face, with 20 covered his feet, and with 20 did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the voice was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Father, we thank you today for your word and the opportunity we have to read it, to preach it, to meet together. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation. And pray you speak to our hearts once again today, that you would visit us and not let us go home unchanged, but you deal with us and pray you give me the right words to speak and to preach that will be according to your will, that Jesus Christ may be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. The year that King Uzziah died, I saw all through the Lord sitting upon a throne. You know, Isaiah had a vision here. He had a vision of the Lord, but before he had a vision, he saw something. He must have seen that King Uzziah die. He said, I saw also the Lord. But he saw King Uzziah died. You know, I want to point out some things today in this chapter. First of all, I want to show you the false protection that evidently Isaiah had and that many of us today have. You know, Isaiah had this king. There's been kings in Israel for a while now. I mean, they had the Lord for the king, but there came a time when they said, no, we don't want that. We want our own earthly king, like everybody else has. And they wanted something they could see, something they could count on, and so they wanted the king. And God gave them their heart's desire, knowing full well it was a bad request, but he gave it to them. He was a good king. He was victorious, rich, diligent, noble, popular, famous, but he was just a man. You know, some of the things that you put your hope in today may be noble. They may be great. They may be impressive. The world may think it's great, but you know, it's not enough. If your hope is in your religion today, you have a hope that is not going to carry you through. If your hope is in your church today, it's not going to get you through. If your hope is in your good works today to get you to heaven, you're in trouble. If that is your hope, whether you give a lot of money to your church or whether you just attend every Sunday or whatever it may be, these things are not going to get you through. What's your hope today? What is your hope to obtain forgiveness of all your sins? Some people really think that religion is the answer. They really think that going to church every Sunday, at least, you know, on Easter Sunday, churches are filled today with those kind of people, aren't they? Is that why you're here today? Is it Easter Sunday? I'm glad you're here. But you ought to make it every Sunday. But even coming every Sunday will never, never save your soul. You can't get forgiveness of sins by going to church. Come on, be for real. Even you demand more than that. When someone offends you in some way, would you forgive them if they promised to go to church every Sunday? No, you would not. Someone does you wrong, someone offends you, someone kidnaps your kid, or someone harms your family, and then promises to be faithful to church every Sunday, and you're going to forgive that one? No, I know better than that. And yet we think God will do the same thing? No, that's not true. Think good works. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In the eyes of God, what are those good things you've done? They're as filthy rags, because see, you forget, we all forget that God not only sees us today when we're in this nice, comfortable church building with our nice clothes on, reading the Bible, and he also sees us the day before, the night before, the week before, in the dark, when we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. He sees our thoughts, he knows our plans, he knows our motives. God is not impressed with our good works that we have. They can't give us forgiveness of sins. What is your hope today? Some of you may even know the right answer. Oh, it's Jesus. He's my hope. But you know, it's amazing the different Jesuses that are out there, isn't it? You know, there are a lot of different opinions of Jesus. Have you ever had someone tell you, maybe you've said it yourself, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe he'll save me. Why do you believe that? Because he wouldn't condemn someone that's like me. He would never condemn someone as good as me. That's what some people think. That's the Jesus they have. Right. They think that Jesus is so wise, he knows how good they are. He's a lot wiser than that. He's a lot more all-knowing than that. He knows good and well that we are all unclean. Amen. We're all undone. We're all guilty sinners by nature. We're all guilty sinners by birth. Guilty sinners even by our own actions. We have no excuse. And yet people still think they can fool God. Maybe Mary is your hope today. I don't know. Maybe you think that somehow by praying to Mary that she will intercede for you to God. Maybe you think that the priest somehow can forgive all of your sins. Is that your hope today? A mortal man, if you're lost today, if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, let me tell you something. Your hope in religion will never get you anywhere. Hope in your church? Never. Hope in Mary, hope in sacraments, hope in baptism. You cannot get forgiveness of sins that way. What about you people? Those of us who are saved. Isaiah had his hope, but Isaiah also had his boss. Here's the king. He's the boss. I want to ask you today, Christian friend, who is your boss today? Who is your boss? Who is your king? Under whose authority are you living today? We all have a king. We all have someone or something that dictates how we live, how we talk, how we make decisions, where we go, where we don't go, what we don't say, what we do say. We all have some kind of authority. So who's your boss? Is it yourself? You just decide day by day what feels the best, what sounds the best, what looks the best, what pleases me the most. Is it pleasure? Is it the world? Is it friends? Do your friends dictate how you live your life? Are your ambitions your God? The things you want to attain, the things you want to see, the things you want to do, is that what dictates how you do what you do? And you'll do anything to reach those goals. It doesn't matter what is right or what is moral or what is just. You'll just do whatever this ambition you have tells you to do. Who is your boss today? Not just today. Because you can pretend today is a Sunday. You're in church. And maybe all your neighbors are impressed. Maybe all in here are impressed. I'm glad you're here. I really am. I don't like preaching to an empty room. But who is your boss tomorrow? Who was your boss yesterday? Oh, we can all play church on Sunday, right? And come and sing and talk about the Lord and everything else. But who was your boss yesterday? What kind of decision did you make last night when the Spurs were playing downtown? Who is your boss? If self is your boss, if the world is your boss, if you're living under the authority of your own lusts and your own the pleasures of this world, the things that bring you contentment that are carnal, you need to get the same experience that Isaiah had. Your king needs to die today. You need to just bury that old king today. You need to bury self. You need to bury your own lust. You need to bury your own ambition and say, look, I don't care what else the world has to offer. Jesus Christ is the king that I want to live under. Amen. If you're lost today, you need to bury your religion. You need to just get rid of any hope you ever have in religion or in your church or in your sacraments or good works and say, look, none of these things would ever get me one step closer to heaven. You need to bury these things because the Bible tells us clearly that there's really only one. Look what happened here in verse 1. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. The year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah had a vision. He saw the Lord sitting on a throne, not lying in a manger, not hanging on a cross on the wall somewhere, not hanging on a cross around somebody's neck. That is not where he is, my friend. Jesus Christ is not a baby in a manger. You can pick up and carry it around a little while and then put him down and put him away for another year until next Christmas time comes around and you pick it up again. That is not Jesus.
Right.
It says here that he saw him sitting on a throne.
Right.
Sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Have you seen the Lord? Have you seen the one and only who died for your sins? Why in the world would you ever confess your sins to a mortal man, a sinful man, if the one and only God himself in the flesh bled and died for your sins on the cross 2,000 years ago? You need to see the Lord. You need to see him not as a dying Savior on a cross. Yes, he died for your sins, but he rose from the dead. He conquered death for you to have everlasting life today.
Amen.
Have you seen him? Are you still having your hope in your religion? You still think you can get to heaven without him? Hey, wake up. If you could get to heaven without him, he wouldn't have died.
Right.
Why would he have to die? There'd be no reason for him to die if you could make it on your own. You think he died just for those who died for those who want him, or died just in case somebody else out there would like to have him. He died as the only answer. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No one. Have you seen him? He is your only hope today to ever have forgiveness of sins. Your only hope to ever reach heaven is Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the only Mediator, the only Priest, the only name whereby we must be saved, Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah had false protection, but he also had a fearful revelation. He saw the Lord. He saw the Lord, and it says that the angel, the seraphim said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Not holy father, not holy mother, not holy somebody else. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Amen. You think that didn't mean anything to Isaiah? It says the earth, they said the whole earth is full of his glory. The whole earth is full of his glory. You think, wait a minute. How can that be? I mean, we see many, many gods that are worshipped all over this world, don't we? Hey, the whole earth is full of his glory. There's no excuse. Look around. Just look around at the trees. Look at the animals. Look at the sky. Look at the stars. Look at whatever you want. The earth is full of his glory. How can you miss it? How can you miss? He is the one who designed it all. Amen. Not chance. The earth is full of his glory. He is sitting on the throne. Isaiah didn't see him ascend the throne. He saw him sitting on the throne. Hey, he didn't just get there. He's been there from eternity past. He's always been on the throne. He's always been Lord. He's not campaigning for your vote. He's not running for re-election. He's not trying to become something he'd like to be. He is Lord. He is on the throne. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. Right. Isaiah saw him sitting on a throne. Have you seen him sitting on the throne? Oh, yeah, that's my Jesus, you know, the man upstairs, you know. Yeah, the guy up there, you know. And, oh, we got all our cute little names for God, don't we? And it sounds so neat that we're just so close to God, we can talk to him like we can talk to our little best pal down the street. Hey, is that how the seraphim talk about God? And they say, oh, yeah, this guy over here, yeah, we know this guy. Yeah, he's pretty cool. No. They said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He's an all-knowing God. All-knowing. You understand that? All-knowing. Aren't you glad that nobody in here is all-knowing? If we were all-knowing, you'd have no friends.
Right.
We know all about you. We know everything you've done. We know what you're thinking right now. Hope he finishes at 12. I can't see that clock up there. Oh, if I was all-knowing, I couldn't love you. Isaiah had a fearful revelation. He saw God on the throne. You know what that brought about? That brought about a frightening realization. A very frightening realization. And if you've never had this frightening realization, you have never seen the Lord sitting on a throne. Look at verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Hey, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he got scared. Have you seen the Lord? Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, he's cool. No, my friend, you haven't seen him. Because when you see him, you will have this realization like Isaiah did. Oh, I am undone. I am in trouble. I'm a wicked man. I've got unclean lips. How can I look at this King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who is a consuming fire? How can I bear to stand before him? How can I be in the same universe as him if he is all-knowing and all-righteous? You see, the problem is too many people have not seen him as he really is. They have not seen the Lord as he really is. All this world and even religion these days paints God in such a light that there is no justice. There is no righteousness. It's just God wants you to be happy, and He has a wonderful plan for your life and all these things. Hey, let me tell you something. This book was not written to tell you how God has a wonderful plan for your life. I'm sorry. And you may be surprised. I used to think that the Bible was written so that we could find out how to get to heaven. And in an indirect way, there's some truth to that. But you know, there's something more important than that. The Bible was written, I think, to show us who is boss. Who is on the throne? You see, this world got it all messed up. They've got world on the throne. They've got lust on the throne. They've got money on the throne. They've got pleasure on the throne. They've got Mary on the throne. They've got a priest on the throne. They've got the Pope on the throne. Oh, come on. That's not true. No one believes the Pope is God. They don't. They call Him Holy Father. In the Bible, the only Holy Father is God. But the world puts all kinds of people on the throne, and I'm telling you today that the Bible shows us clearly from beginning to end who is on the throne. And when you see that, you will have a fearful realization of your own sin, of your ungodliness, of your wickedness, of your unclean heart, of your unclean lips, your unclean thoughts, your unclean motives, your unclean habits, your unclean self, everything about you. You will realize that God sees you in a different light than you see yourself. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You, Christian friend, have you caught the vision of the Lord lately? Have you really seen Him? You can only go so long on Daddy and Mama's experience. You can only make it so far on Daddy's coattails. You can only make it so far following Daddy and Mama's religion. You need to have a personal vision like Isaiah did. You need to get the revelation of this God, this most holy God on the throne, realize who is really the boss, and get that in your head and get the realization that Isaiah had. You see, God is interested not in your vote, not a campaign trail. God is interested in your submission. He demands total submission to Him. He doesn't demand submission to the religion of your mommy and daddy. He demands submission to Him. He demands allegiance, full allegiance to the Almighty God, the all holy, all knowing, all righteous God. You're saved today. Have you ever had the realization that Isaiah had? If you're saved, you had it one day at least. The day you were saved, you realized, oh, I'm unclean. I am on the road to hell. I deserve condemnation. But you know, there comes a time, and I think most everyone, if not everyone's life, when you need to really have a realization for your own self, who is the boss. Jesus saved you. I'm glad He saved you. You're on the road to heaven. You have the forgiveness of sin. You're going to heaven forever, for eternity. That is great news. I am so glad we'll be together forever in eternity. But today and tomorrow, who's your boss? Who's the boss? Who calls the shots for you in your life? Who decides what is right? Who decides what you do, where you go, how you spend your time? Because you see, Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." When you get this vision, when you get this realization, when you really see God as He really is, you're going to have something happen just like Isaiah. Some of you young people saved, maybe since you were very young, maybe born in this place, not saved since you were born, but born here and then called on the Lord and got saved. That is great. But you know, sometimes we need to get revived. Sometimes we need to do some house cleaning. Sometimes we need to come back and say, "Lord, I've lost sight of You on the throne. I've been trying to do things my way. I've been trying to do things in using my own abilities. I've been trying to make decisions with my own wisdom. I've been trying to do things for myself, for this world, for money, for pleasure, for lust, for whatever it may be. And I have lost sight of who is really the boss." Some of you other people. Not older people, other people. You're not old. Come on. Who's your boss?
Right.
Maybe you needed some house cleaning like Isaiah did. Maybe you need to realize, hey, I am undone. I have gotten off. I have strayed. I made some decisions years ago, but I've strayed from those decisions. Or I've been fighting this for years. I've been fighting this for months. God's been dealing with me, but I don't want to give in. I don't want to change my habits. I don't want to change my goals. I don't want to change my ambitions. Maybe you need to say like Isaiah did. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Well, there's full purification if you'll just confess it. You're lost today. Just confess your sin to God. The Bible says the blood of Christ can wash away all your sins if you just put your faith in the only one who died for you. You should call Him today and ask Him to save you and forgive you. And if you're saved today, there is no reason at all why you should go on in rebellion against God's will. No reason why you should go on doing things like you want to do them. Rebelling against God's call, God's commandment, rebelling against whatever God is dealing with you with in your own personal life. I have no idea what God is dealing with you with. But if you're saved, rest assured, God is dealing with you today and tomorrow until the day you die. Maybe it's the company you keep. Maybe it's the things you watch. Maybe it's the places you go. Maybe it's the music you listen to. Maybe it's the boyfriend or girlfriend you have. I have no idea. But you need purification. You need for this, like it says here, this coal, burning coal. In verse 6, a live coal taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Why would any of us fight against God? And all we have to do is say, oh God, I am undone. I have been holding back. I have been rebelling. I have been holding this back from you. I have been in sin, or I have been doing things or not doing things I should be doing. Woe is me. I am undone. I have no excuse. You just confess it to God. He'll just take it away. He'll just cleanse you. Cleanse your mind. Cleanse your heart. And you'll be all fixed up again in communion with Him. Why would anybody wait so long?
Right.
It all goes back to who's on the throne. You want to call the shots. You want to be the one in control. You're not going to be under anybody. And that's real smart. Remember, He's sitting on the throne. You understand that? You just think you're the boss. You're not the boss. He is the boss. Oh, but I did what I wanted to do yesterday. Oh, you think you're so smart. No one caught me yesterday. No one saw me yesterday. Almost no one. You think you're the boss? You think you're the one that's making all the decisions? He's still on the throne. And He's coming back. He is coming back. If you don't think He's coming back, why are you here? That makes no sense. If He's not on the throne and not coming back, then hey, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. But if you're here today, unless you're just being a hypocrite, putting on a show, you must realize there's some truth to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back soon.
Amen.
So you need full purification. Look at verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now that's a fitting commission, isn't it? Isn't that fitting? I mean, we've heard all week. We've been dealing with this issue all week. When God decided to find someone to go to this world of unclean lips, what did He decide to do? He spoke to people and He said, Whom shall I send? What a fitting commission. I mean, after all, He did buy us, didn't He? Didn't He purchase us? Right? Brother says, Can I borrow your CD player? Sister says, No, it's mine. The other brother or sister says, Well, can I borrow it? Sure, you can borrow it. Oh, we like that power, don't we? We can do what we want because we bought it. It belongs to us. And it sounds great when it's our purchase. My friend, if you are saved today, you've been purchased with a price, the price of blood. And you belong to Him. You belong to the one on the throne. You know what that means? That means He calls the shot. That means when He says, hey, who am I going to send? You shouldn't say, well, Lord, why would you even be considering me? Well, why wouldn't He consider you? He owns you, doesn't He? Whether you realize it or not, if you're saved, He owns you. He saved you. You understand that? He saved you. Have you forgotten what He saved you out of? Have you forgotten? Have you lost sight of what God did for you. That's a fitting commission because He saved you. He says, look, I want to send someone here. I can send someone here whose life was changed by this message of the gospel. That makes perfect sense. I hear it on the radio all the time. These radio announcers, all these guys, you know, they have these radio programs. They must spend 3 hours a day taking all these different pills and juices that they advertise. Yeah, man, I take this stuff every day and it's really great. If you're one of those guys, they advertise all these vitamins. I mean, these are just these radio talk show hosts. And they use everything. I don't know how they stay alive, and they're taking everything. Why? Because there's power. There's really convincing power when you can say, hey, I tried this and it worked. And you say, well, maybe it worked for me too. It's a fitting commission because God says, hey, I saved you. Now I'd like to send you. I saved you. I want to use you. I saved you. I want you to go. I want you to do this. I want you to carry this gospel. It's very fitting. God says, whom shall I send? Isaiah already had the realization of what was wrong in his life. You want God to use you? He'll start with you and in you. Oh, you want to serve God, but you don't want to clean up your life? You want God to send you somewhere, but you don't want to get things straight? Get things straight first. Confess your sins first. Clean up your life first. Straighten out some problems first. And then, like Isaiah, you can have the firm resignation. Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Here am I, send me. He didn't say, here am I, send them. Here am I, I'd like to go, but, you know, I'm not sure. Here am I, you know, I'm willing to go. Here am I, I'm praying about it, Lord. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. What is the Lord asking of you? What has God dealt with you about this week? I honestly do not think that God is going to call every single person in this room to go to Poland. Sounds good. Man, get this many people on fire in Poland, we could really, really cover some ground. Whatever God is dealing with you about this week, what is your resolve? Well, Lord, you know, I know you want me to do that, but I'd like to do something else. Lord, you know, I'll do anything you want me to do except do this. I'll go anywhere you want me to go except to that place. I'll preach anywhere, Lord, except at the bus stop downtown. I'll talk to anybody, Lord, except for that person. Isaiah just said, here, my Lord, send me. God made no promises. He didn't show Isaiah the contract first. He didn't say, here are the work conditions. Who wants to go? Did he? He just said, who can I send? Isn't that amazing? Oh, these days, we have things all figured out, don't we? We want to see all the contract. We want to see everything before we sign the contract. That's pretty wise. But we treat God the same way. God is seeking volunteers. Men, women, young men, young women. He says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Some of you may ask, what about the medical plan? Hey, I got a great physician. I can't promise you a whole lot. I can promise you that he is the great physician. He's on the throne. He's also a great physician. Well, what about overtime pay? Oh, yeah, I know what you're worried about. What about overtime pay? I mean, will I be recompensed? God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Don't you worry. Well, what about my promotion? Jesus said, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be a servant. You want to get promoted? Be a servant. But if I witness to them, if I preach the gospel downtown, my boss might see me and I might not get promoted. Where are you wanting to be promoted to? Whose promotion are you looking for? But I can't go. I can't go to Mexico. I can't go to Poland. I'm fixing to get a big promotion. What about the benefits? Oh man, they are out of this world. You have no idea. Woo! They are just amazing. I have not seen nor ear heard. What about the work conditions? I mean, let me know. What am I getting myself into? The Apostle Paul said, I know the Holy Ghost testifieth that bonds and afflictions await me. What are you interested in? Are you interested in serving the one on the throne or in serving yourself? Are you interested in obedience or in comfort? Pleasure. That's what it boils down to. Who's the boss? Who calls the shots? Well, but at least my needs will be met, right? God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. But my needs will be met, right? Well, that depends on what you call a need. I mean, I need a new car every 4 years. Well, let me tell you something. God did not promise that, and I cannot promise that. What God said is that His grace is sufficient. And like someone said, I don't know who and when and where, he said, the will of God will never send you where the grace of God cannot keep you. What are you worried about? Surely you've had jobs before when you went into them blindly, not knowing what was expected of you or what you would get because you were hard up for a job and you signed on, taking a chance, taking a gamble. Have you never gambled in your life? Give me a break. You do it all the time. Cast your bread upon the waters, the Lord says. You'll find it after many days. Oh, we're so worried about having things all worked up, all worked out for ourselves, and having all the contracts all lined up, and we know what's going to happen. No, you don't know. You don't even know what's going to happen today and tomorrow in your own place, in your own job. Especially if you work for Enron. Come on. Man, you think it's job security? Let me tell you about job security. There is a world of souls who have never heard the gospel. Job security? Hey, you can hardly miss. You just walk out your door and you've got customers everywhere. And you know what? There is no competition. No competition. I mean, who else preaches the free gospel? Who else tells this world they can be saved by simply putting their faith in someone who died for them? And you're worried about work conditions, promotions, medical plans, overtime pay? Who are you serving? Who's your boss? You're worried about getting involved in the work of evangelism. You're worried about getting involved in preaching the gospel because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know one thing's going to happen. That same Lord on the throne is going to come back one day. That's for sure. You can't avoid that one. That's a sure thing. So why wouldn't you serve Him today? Why wouldn't you recognize today who He is and submit to Him? Give Him your allegiance. Do His will. Obey whatever He's telling you to do. Why wait one more day? It makes no sense. Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. What is your answer today? Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for such a great salvation and a great calling. Help us to do Your will. In Jesus' name, amen.